This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to the Me First Revolution, Embrace the Leader Within. And I'm really excited today to be here with Umm Jamal. Umm Jamal and I go way back in the day of Chat Islam, teaching together online our Muslim sisters across the globe. She's an amazing sister. She calls herself Ustada, but I think she should call herself Sheikha, but eventually she'll work her way up to it because she's got so many studies. I'm in awe of her Arabic, you know, being a convert like myself, you know, the way she's developed her language and her understanding of the deen. It's absolutely amazing. And I love the work that she does, helping Muslim sisters really understand their deen, answering their questions, especially the sorts of things that we really need a female to ask. So she's doing such important, amazing work. So I'm excited to have her here with me today. Welcome, Umm Jamal.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. How are you, Sister Catherine?
Good.
How are you for your kind words?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You're most deserving of them with the work that you do and you continue to do all this time. You know, may Allah reward you. Before we get into what you want to share with the sisters about embracing the leader within themselves from an Islamic perspective, I'd love to ask you first to share with the sisters why you think it's important that they actually do that.
Okay, well, you know what I really believe, subhanAllah, Sister Khadija, after Bismillah Rahman Rahim. I think that we as women, we have so much more that we can all be doing, you know, to serve Islam and the Ummah. You know, we actually tend to undermine the role that we do have as women to strengthen our Ummah. And, you know, as you know, and something I know you teach, and that is that we all have those unique skills. We all have those unique talents that we could be using, you know, to strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for Islam. But obviously, before we can even start to do that, we do need to have more control over our personal lives. You know, for us to be effective in serving the Ummah, we do need to, you know, get control to a certain level over our personal lives. Like, none of us are fully in control of everything, obviously. We're all human beings. But basically, you know, in order to have success outside, you know, you really do need to start with yourself. I mean, that's even a philosophy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran. You think about when Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusukum wa ahlikum nara, you know. Oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. So if you look at that ayah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us from the beginning to start off with your own self first, and to start off with your family. Get yourselves on track. And inshallah, through that, you can then work outwardly into, you know, society. So it's really important that we do learn to, you know, take responsibility for our life. And as you know, I'm sure, again, that's something I know you do teach as well, and that is that we all go through those stages where we fall into that mistake of blaming our circumstances. I think it's something that we all go through, and it's a big learning experience for us, that we fall into that mistake of, you know, complaining about our situations, blaming our circumstances for why we can't, you know, do things. And also, you know, as you know as well, that we tend to depend on others a little bit too much, you know, for example, for our happiness, you know, even for our own success, you know, why isn't this happening for me? We blame it on everybody else. And I think one of the most powerful personal discoveries that, you know, anyone can make is to realize that we are ourselves ultimately, you know, responsible for our own happiness, and that we've always got a choice. There's always a choice in every situation, subhanAllah. So it's up to us, you know, to look for those pathways, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open that and to show you the pathway that you need to take in life. And if you're not able to do that, you know, if you're struggling and working out how to do that, then you need to be able to reach out and look for those people who can help you, inshallah, to seek your way out of, you know, whatever situation that you happen to be in. So that's on the personal level. But then, you know, as for the importance of why it's so important that we sisters, you know, embrace that leadership, is because, you know, I'll talk about it, and on the Ummah level, you know, when we step up, you know, as individual sisters, you know, each one of us, inshallah, is helping, you know, to set a strong example that helps other sisters also feel brave enough to take that step as well, you know. You think about it, even on the level of just like wearing hijab or wearing niqab and those things, you know. You think about it, if every single one of us shows, you know, each one of us or the more of us that show that leadership, inshallah, you know, in, you know, showing leadership through feeling proud of our identity as Muslimat, you know, when other sisters see us taking that, you know, that leadership in being proud to, you know, to have our identity, inshallah, as Muslimat, this is something that, you know, it helps other sisters to take that step as well. Like, I know, like, for example, when they see you, Sister Catherine, you know, you're a revert, or they know I'm a revert. I know a lot, so many reverts. It helps them to feel like I can do it too. And I'm not just reverts, even born Muslims, like, they'll look at you and think, well, mashallah, you're a revert. And, you know, you're proudly wearing your hijab, and for them, that might be a challenge, you know. So things like that, that's a type of leadership, you know, when we're proud of our identity as Muslimat. But the other thing is too that, you know, I think that we tend, like, as women, we love complaining, and and we're all guilty of that, you know, without exception. Okay, I'm not planning, I don't complain as well, whinge. We all have our days where we like to whinge and complain. But, like, you know, we complain about the state of the ummah, you know, we complain about, you know, where are the female role models. But, you know, it's up to us, each one of us, inshallah, to, you know, to try to step up and to strive to be that example. Like, if you can't find what you're looking for in the ummah, it's up to you to take the initiative and try to, you know, try to step up, you know, to try to fill those gaps, inshallah, in the ummah, you know. And then also, obviously, to support the sisters who are out there trying to make those positive changes for the ummah as well. So this is some of the reasons why I feel so important that we, in particular, as sisters, you know, we embrace that leadership, as I said, in our personal lives and as well, like, as, you know, in the scope of the ummah as well, inshallah.
So many amazing, wonderful points there. I had some things I was going to elaborate on, but you just covered so much. It's all gone straight there. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the whole thing. We need role models in our ummah. I mean, how are our young women going to, you know, our youth going to really step into being proud of their identity as a Muslim if we're not stepping into that ourselves as leaders to them? But that's the right. Leadership of their own selves and their own lives, I mean, that's where it does come first, is having them lead their own lives rather than have life lead them. I know what the point was that came to my mind as you were talking was, you were talking about blaming circumstances, and that's where we tend to whinge as well, is that, oh, woe me. When we're doing that, we're not accepting the qadr of Allah, and that Allah has placed these circumstances as a test. And you were saying we all have a choice. Well, that's our test, isn't it? What choice are we going to make with our circumstances? Are we going to embrace the circumstances, go, well, Allah's put me in this situation for whatever reason, I'm going to take charge of it and do the best with it? Or am I going to whinge, complain and fall in a heap? You know, it's part of the test. No one ever said this life was meant to be easy.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I love your answer. You covered pretty much everything possible. Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
So you've really had to step up and embrace the leader within yourself in many different ways. And I even witnessed it myself recently, well, in the last, you know, 12 months, where you had to really step up and say, hey, I am a knowledgeable sister. I have something worthwhile to share. I should be on these panels with the brothers, you know, sharing my knowledge too, because we need a sister's point of view out there, which I thought was absolutely amazing. And I was so glad to actually witness that. So I'd love for you to share whichever stories you like with the sisters of where you've had to embrace the leader within yourself, so that they understand, you know, we don't just come here by accident. We've had to work hard to get to where we are.
Absolutely. I'll talk about that. I can't even begin to outline to you how many times I've had to, you know, really overcome a lot of things in myself and, you know, as you said, embrace the leader within. I'll talk about it on a personal level first, and then I'm going to talk about it in the community-based level. So, you know, regarding the personal level, an example of a time when I had to really, like you said, make the most of my situation. You know, after I got married, for example, my husband got very busy with his studies in computing. So, you know, like I'll make a little joke here, but, you know, we all know second wives get rights, whereas if your husband gets married to a computer, there's nothing.
Okay, so I don't I get it.
there's no rights set out for you. So, you know, you know that a lot of sisters, we hear a common complaint of sisters, you know, my husband doesn't spend enough time with me, and they get really depressed about it a lot of the time, right? So, you know, obviously my husband was very busy with his studies, and I could have let that get to me. I could have started causing a lot of problems, you know, I could have started really getting myself depressed and maybe having fights with my husband. But to be honest, I actually, you know, alhamdulillah, I decided to make the most of my situation. And that was, I saw it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving me the opportunity to have time to study my deen. So alhamdulillah, I really used to use my time to, you know, study Arabic grammar, memorize Quran. So I make like a program for myself every day. So because I made myself busy, I didn't have time to be sitting there thinking too much and getting upset about things, because I made myself busy and I utilized my time. And you know, Catherine, when you're happy, subhanAllah, the husband gets attracted to you more. But if you're sad, like, I mean, of course, husbands have to be patient with their wives, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah. So if you want to win against,
you end up pushing them away more.
Yeah. So if you want to win against the computer, in other words, be happy, then they're going to be more attracted to you than the computer.
That's it. Eventually they do get bored of the computer. But like, okay, so that's an example of overcoming a personal, you know, like I said, you've got that conflict in yourself, but you've got to learn to make the most of your situation, right? That's one example. Of course, I've got so many in my life, but besides that, I'll talk about now like an example from a community-based level, and that is, you know, obviously being in the field of da'wah, you know, alhamdulillah, for many years. And I think sisters could appreciate there's not that many women in the field of da'wah. You know, it's quite limited. So, my battery. Yep. My battery just went there, subhanAllah. So, subhanAllah, you know, there's times where you can go through trials which can be quite overwhelming. There will be times where you're going to go through certain trials, you know, with the community or with people, or, you know, you will be put to trial. Allah's going to test you in your sincerity, subhanAllah. So, that, you know, there has been times, I'm going to admit to you that there has been times where it has become very stressful and it can really interfere in your personal life, you know. And when it does get to that stage, you can often start to feel, maybe I just need to, you know, back down and just concentrate on my family. It would be a lot easier option to consider just, you know, spending quiet time and focusing on your family and just, you know, give up your community work, for example, you know. So I, you know, there was a time, I can mention one particular time, which was a real crisis in, I could say, in my life, where I really, really heavily, you know, strongly considered giving up da'wah altogether. And alhamdulillah, you know, I have to say, after Allah, you know, my husband, alhamdulillah, he was, you know, really, you know, supporting me. And, you know, alhamdulillah, he, because of him, alhamdulillah, after Allah, of course, I got the courage to step back in, you know, and keep going with it. And, but I also want to mention too, that there's one particular ayah that I really held onto that really got me through that trial. And that was the ayah in Surah Yusuf, where Allah subhanahu says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That whoever fears Allah and, you know, is patient, that Allah never causes the deeds of the muhsinin to be lost. So, you know, the message here is, as long as you know that what you're doing it sincerely for Allah, and what you're doing is something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to know that Allah will get you through that trial, and, you know, inshallah, Allah will raise you to a better level after that, you know, like just like he did for Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, he went through that trial, but Allah brought him in a better level, you know, after that trial. And so what you find is when you stick to that principle of being close to Allah through that trial, you know, fearing Allah and having that patience and seeing through the trial, you'll find that, you know, you do come out stronger and you learn so much. And that's, I'm sure, I know you yourself have gone through your own personal trials. And when you do that, you know, and you come out the other side and you're able to help others, like through those trials, you learn so much. Mm-hmm. And you're also able to go on and help others as well, inshallah, through the experiences that you learn, you know, the lessons that you learn through those trials.
Exactly.
Yes.
I look at what I've been through as Allah putting me through a boot camp to prepare me to do the work that I'm doing today. Yes. I wouldn't be able to connect as well and be as helpful to sisters without having gone through those experiences. And so while many of them were actually pretty terrible, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah doesn't burden us with more than we can bear. I mean, I feel quite flattered that Allah thought I was strong enough to go through such incredible tests. He knew I was strong enough to do it. And so he picked me, you know, for that, you know, subhanAllah. So I actually feel flattered by it rather than distressed by it. Alhamdulillah.
Exactly. That's exactly what I've always felt as well, that the trials I've gone through. At the time, they're never pleasant, but...
Mm.
On reflection, you realize that there's great wisdom in why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you for that particular trial, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've watched when it comes to your public position, I've watched you go from just quietly going about your business and doing amazing things to really putting yourself out there. And that wasn't easy for you. It was very uncomfortable for you to do that. Yes. And you have done an amazing job of that and really put yourself out there as a leader in terms of, you know, scholarly advice for sisters. I mean, you have studies in fiqh, you have, you know, qualifications that back, you know, what you say. I certainly wouldn't put myself in that position of answering sisters' questions on fiqh matters because I know I don't have that background. What I can help them with is their emotional stuff. They're, you know, getting to the point where they're in an emotional state to make good decisions. But then when it comes to what's the correct thing to do Islamically, then you're the right person because you've got that. And it's taken a lot of hard work to acknowledged in terms of, yes, you are qualified to do that work.
Yes.
It's much harder for a woman, isn't it?
It is. I think there's a lot, you expected to do a lot more before you're acknowledged. I do feel that there is that definitely there. It seems a lot quicker, you know. It does seem a lot quicker for males to be acknowledged. I'm going to just state straight out. Like, I saw it with my own son. He's so away, you know, for example, subhanAllah. Like, you know, you can see it with, yeah, subhanAllah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and, yeah.
So, I guess the example that you set for the sisters is, you know, don't give up. And we're not necessarily saying that they need to step up as scholars, but they certainly need to step up in being knowledgeable about their religion because they cannot really lead their own lives. Like, I have knowledge and I have enough knowledge to go about my day-to-day life, inshallah, making good decisions in a way to please Allah, but not to rule over anybody else's decisions, just for my own self. And sisters really have a responsibility to reach that level of knowledge for themselves, don't they?
Yeah, look, I mean, everybody's got their own path. Like, we shouldn't compare to each other because we've all, we've all got our unique talents and abilities. And, you know, one sister you'll find her excellent in, for example, organization. She's got great organization skills, you know, that I might not necessarily have. You know, some people are really tech savvy and they can really, like yourself, mashallah, you've got great, great skills with technology. That's something I'm lacking in. You know, we've all got those areas that we've got our strengths and we've got our weaknesses. So whatever strengths you have, you go with it, you know, and you use that, inshallah, to, as I said, what our aim, what I try to motivate sisters to think about is how you can use your individual skill and your individual talent, inshallah, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to bring positive change for the ummah, inshallah.
Yeah. Yeah. And think about the ummah as well, because what I have found, because I've often run programs and things in my local community, is that people will just rely on one person until they burn out, and then they'll latch on to the next person rather than seeing it as a community obligation. Let's all pitch in. Let's all see what we can do. And the thing is, if everybody pitches in, it's a tiny bit of effort on everybody's part to make a difference. It's like the housework. If everyone pitches in, the housework gets done really quickly and it seems effortless. It's the same in the community level. But a lot of sisters hold back going, oh, no, I can't do that. Or, you know, it's too hard. I've got so much to do at home. But the reality is everybody can spare a bit of time, a bit of energy, a bit of money towards something in the community, even if it's a small amount. And if everybody did that, we would be making a difference. And I think you've probably experienced the same thing yourself, being one of those leaders in the community, is how everybody kind of expects you to always be the leader and they can just sit back and follow.
Yeah. Like, look, you know, everyone's got the individual situation, you know, like obviously I do find a lot of sisters too, they put a lot of pressure on themselves. Like, when you've got a whole lot of young children and you're trying to raise them, don't stop. You know, a lot of sisters, what I'm finding they're doing is they're comparing to all these other sisters they see doing stuff outside and thinking, I'm not good enough, you know?
Yeah.
But you've got to realize that right now, if your situation is raising children, you put your full energy into that. Let me tell you, when my children were small, that was my career. I put off a lot of things. I put off a lot of things because I took my children to be my number one priority, you know, in raising them and trying to make them memorize the Quran and things like that. I wanted to build my kids first, and that's why I'm going back now after raising my children. I'm taking that initiative, you know. After raising my kids, I feel like, okay, I've raised my children, basically most of them, and now I'm thinking I've got my responsibility to the community that I need to start giving out, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what made me move into that. It's not like I've always been doing this. Like, no one ever heard of me a few years ago. I was just doing my lessons, you know, locally and raising my family, always busy with that. But when I've got to a certain level and a stage, I feel like, no, now it's time to serve on a wider scope. So sisters out there, when you're in that situation where you've got young kids, don't put that pressure on yourself. Like, you go through stages. You don't expect yourself to be doing everything all in one go.
Yeah. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there's a time for this and a time for that. And the time in that moment is to be a leader in their home. So it's still about stepping into that leadership position and being a leader for their children.
Yes, that's one thing I actually wanted to, I wanted to touch on, you know, advice, you know, that I have for sisters, you know, that will help them to embrace that leader within, inshallah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first of all, obviously the number one advice I want to give is, you know, obviously you need to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to be close to Allah, and I really can't stress enough how important it is to be close with the Quran, you know, always reading it and reflecting on the ayats, you know, the verses, because subhanAllah, that the Quran really empowers you and it gives you confidence. Even if you've got those self-doubts, like we all have our weaknesses, we all have those self-doubts, but if you're close to Allah, and especially, like as I said, reflecting on the Quran, Allah, because you know Allah's with you. Like I said before, if you've got that sincerity and you got that patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you, and he'll give you a strength from, you know, internal strength that you didn't know was there for you, subhanAllah. So it's, and then having that tawakkul on Allah as well, having that dependence, you know, taking those steps. Like, I've had to take a lot of, like, I really went out of my comfort zone. Like, I've always been a person who wore niqab, you know, giving my lessons only to sisters. But I've realized that this is really important, that I take a leadership role in a certain dimension, so that sisters can see that we do have, you know, you understand, we have sisters out there who are trying to do some, you know, make positive change in the community. So it was a big step for me to step out of my comfort zone and start, you know, speaking on a, you know, on a public platform. You know what I'm trying to say? So it has been difficult. It's not been easy. And I've had to, like, it's like a, you could say a bit of a leap of faith. But, you know, you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, you know, to be able to have that strength, you know, to do it. And then
So even in last year's summit, it was quite an uncomfortable thing to go out there in the summit the first time round. This time you're much more relaxed and taking charge of it all. But last year, it was like this big step, you know, oh, I'm in front of a whole bunch of people, I have no clue who they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I've learned a lot from you, Catherine, Marshall. You just get on there and just chat away to the world.
Well, people think that, yeah, okay, I'm a natural. Yeah, I am now. But when I first started, I was as scared as anything. I thought I was going to get shot down in flames by all the scholars for showing up online and talking. But I knew I had to do it because otherwise I wasn't going to reach people.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Anyway, so the other thing I want to talk about as well, you know, I want us all to reflect on the fact that, you know, tabarakallah, we're really blessed in Islam that Allah has given us such strong female role models to look up to. You know, if you think about every single one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example, you know, these were not timid women. They were actually very, very strong women. You know, you think about, you know, Zainab bint Jahsh, you think about Aisha, Hafsa, you know, Salama, like they're all very strong women. SubhanAllah. And this is exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to be wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, Khadija radiallahu anha, without, you know, without doubt. But, you know, if you look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually chose them to be from his wives for a particular purpose. And there's even an ayah in the Quran that shows you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was preparing them for the future. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raising them to be leaders, you know, like, just like he raised the Sahaba to be leaders, he was also raising his own wives. Like Allah says in the Quran, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. You know, so Allah, he was commanding the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to mention the, you know, the ayat of Allah that are being revealed to you and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah that you're learning. So that their role would be to preserve that sunnah of the household. You know, to convey that to the ummah.
Yeah, so if we didn't have the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and narrating those hadiths to us, we wouldn't actually really understand the inside life of a Muslim, would we?
Yeah, that was one of the very, you know, crucial roles that, you know, the ummahatul mu'minin did play, subhanAllah, in, you know, in the ummah, you know. And we know how many times the Sahaba used to resort back to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to find out the inner affairs, the sunnah, you know, was of the inner sunnah was preserved through them. But you know, like going back to what I was saying, and that is that, you know, we see how they went through that stage of learning with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then, you know, after his death, we see how they did step up in their role, you know, and they became teachers of women. They became role models to women. They took a leadership role in the ummah, you know. And like Aisha could have said to herself, well, I'm only 18, you know, how can I fulfill that role? You know, I'm only young, who's going to listen to me? But subhanAllah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared her for that role. And, you know, but what I want to get to, inshallah, as well is I just want sisters to reflect a little bit about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the example that we can actually take from them. And that is, you know, if you think about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it that ultimately made them such amazing role models? You know, of course, mashallah, they were amazing wives to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know, and after their iman in Allah and their example of very pious women. But after that, you know, what was it that really made them stand out? And what was it? It was their contribution to the ummah. It was their service to Islam. And that's what I want sisters to reflect upon. You know, of course, you know, if you're married, you've got your responsibility of your husband, you've got your responsibility of your family. But it shouldn't be your only concern. Like, we should all be concerned about the state of Islam, the state of the ummah. And we all need to think about how can I individually give back and do something to you know, to serve Islam, to bring about positive change in the ummah. So, you know, we all have different, as I said before, to different talents, different, you know, abilities that we can, and some people could be just, you're good with money, you know, you're good at raising funds and, you give through sadaqah, you support projects through your sadaqah, you know. Other people, it's volunteering.
Yeah, so some sisters, it might simply be that they go to Friday prayer every Friday and they come armed with a couple of rolls of toilet paper, you know, so that, or paper towel for the bathroom, at the mosque. You know, it's simple little things that each and every one of us could be doing that, you know, isn't going to break the budget, break the time, you know, break our energy. It's just something we can fit into our life.
Some sisters are really excellent cooks and they just love it. You know, and I know, mashallah tabarakallah, some sisters are really gifted with this and they use it to strive for the sake of Allah. Like they, for example, they'll cook and they'll give the food to the detention centres, or in Ramadan, tabarakallah, they cook food and feed the fasting and who are doing atikaf, for example, in the masjid, you know, or for iftar, you know, mashallah, tabarakallah. This is their way of reaping so much reward, you know, for the akhirah, but they're also striving for Allah and for the ummah through their talent of cooking. So it's, you know.
And when it comes to cooking, what about even if they've got non-Muslim neighbours occasionally sending food next door? Our neighbour, he's 93 now, lives on his own. And, you know, we've sent food over to him and sort of basically said to him, you know, if you're ever in trouble, you know, make sure you call out, because he lives on his own and he's quite old and getting quite frail. And he was telling me how, you know, he goes down and plays bingo with all the other oldies and they were talking bad about Islam. And he said, I was telling them my neighbours are Muslim and they're lovely people. So you just don't know the difference you're going to make with small gestures. It doesn't make any difference to me to add an extra serving to what I'm cooking to send next door. And it saves him heating up his microwave meals from Coles.
Yes, subhanAllah.
And look at the difference it's made. He's now doing dawah on our behalf down at bingo with all the other oldies.
Yeah, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. That's good. Yeah, subhanAllah. So it's just, you know, like you said, realizing your own potential. You know, we've all got, mashallah, so many gifts we can use, inshallah, and use the blessings Allah's given you to strive, inshallah, for the sake of Allah and for the betterment of the ummah, inshallah. Mm. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. So I think it would be really good to tell the sisters how they can get in contact with you, how they can connect with you, because, you know, you're very passionate about helping sisters when it comes to understanding the deen, and especially when they've got questions and they haven't been able to get good answers. Maybe it's a menstruation type question, so they feel shy to ask a man, and plus they give us answers that don't really add up sometimes because they've never been through it themselves. Or they're finding themselves in a difficult situation and they're not quite sure what Islam says about that situation. I mean, you're the person that can help them with that. So I'd love for you to share with them how they can actually get access to your help if they need it.
Yeah, well, as we've previously discussed, you know, sometimes sisters find themselves in different situations in their marriages, in their relationships with others, and they need to know what their stance is in Islam to be able to work out what choices they have, you know, whether, you know, to be able to make the right choice and to know what choices are available to you, you need the knowledge. So basically, you know, people need to, like sisters, like sisters to know that, you know, inshallah, I'm here for you if you need to, you know, access knowledge to be able to make choices in life. And, you know, I've got my Facebook page set up for that purpose, you know, to be there. So sisters know you do have somewhere to go. I try my best to answer as promptly as I can. But yeah, that's what I'm basically there for. And, you know, alhamdulillah, like I also, like I had mentioned to you as well before, and that is, I find a lot of sisters, for example, are reluctant to think about maybe going to a psychologist, for example, but I've found that they'll come and ask me questions. But the good thing about that is I'm able to pick up all those loose ends in the ummah of people who didn't think about going to a psychologist. I'm able to, if I feel that they do need to seek out a psychologist, I redirect them back into, you know, seeking out that counselling and getting the right help that they need for themselves. Mm. So, you know, I sort of basically assess each sister who comes to me and I try to work out what she needs, put her in touch with the right, you know, the right sources that can help her, inshallah, in her particular situation, inshallah. Mm. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And one of the great things for sisters to know who are participating in this summer is that actually amongst the sisters that are speaking, many are psychologists or have qualifications in psychology. So if they can't find someone locally to help them with those kind of emotional types of things that they're going through, there are people here who can help them actually from amongst the sisters in the summit who are qualified, and we can do it online. It doesn't have to be in person. So there are ways in which they can get the help they need, and it can be quite safe. So, any sisters who are wanting help, the link for the page is with this video, so they can find you and like your page and follow your page, and that's where they can reach out to you, send you a message. You tend to work with people through written form because that's the way you can help most people. You don't tend to get on calls with people. I understand that, because otherwise you just won't be able to serve as many people as you possibly can.
Definitely. So
they need to think carefully about wording their question in a way where it's meaningful to you, giving you enough information that you can actually send them a good reply back, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So jazakallah khair. Once again, it has been so awesome talking to you and having you as a part of this summit, and I hope the sisters have really benefited and feel encouraged and excited to find the little things they can do to step up and be a leader in their world in whatever capacity, inshallah.
Barakallahu fiki for the opportunity. Catherine, it's always a great pleasure. And, you know, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all, inshallah, in finding our purpose, inshallah, and, you know, being able to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ummah, inshallah, ya Rabbi, the best of our capacity, inshallah, before we meet with Allah on Yawmul Qiyamah, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.